What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast. Gorge!
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Pixie Dusters, we're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
Morning.
And of course, produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Don't forget to check out our social media. We have TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube Shorts.
Yes. Please go check it out. And please participate. We do a poll. I try to do a poll every Thursday, and no one participates but us.
I'm so sorry, and I think I missed like the last two because I've just not been on.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't know about it, so I didn't participate either.
Me and Nancy, which is Sammy's mom, are the only ones who participate, and Robbie.
True.
But come participate. Come tell us what you think.
Yes, please.
That's me begging.
Yeah. Even if you hate us, tell us that. It's at least engagement.
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
well,
I'll take it.
I don't like being told that.
Listen,
but it is engagement. Yes. Even negative press gives us press. Oh, shiza.
I am still here. Just keep talking. It's
okay,
fine.
Cool.
Just keep going.
Okay, cool. So I always like to do something, or like we like to do something Disney-fied, even if we're not talking Disney at the beginning of the episode. So the one thing I saw for this week is they have now released a little bit more about the new Hexed movie coming out this year. Dan, I don't know if I don't remember if you were on the episode when we talked about this. So one of the releases that's coming out this year is a new Disney animation called Hexed. And they showed us a little bit more. We knew nothing about this thing. All they gave us was a logo and a month. And now we actually have what it's about. And it's about a daughter named Billy and her mom get pulled into this magical world because Billy all of a sudden finds out she has powers. And when she goes to this other world, mom somehow gets sucked in with her. And they are going to go on an adventure together. And it's been, we haven't had a mother-daughter like movie duo since Brave. So I'm super excited about this. If it actually goes like on a full mother-daughter adventure scale.
That sounds really cool, but the fact that it's called Hex is probably going to upset a lot of people.
I mean, it's going to upset the Christians, but you know what? They'll be fine. I think a lot more people are like a little bit more chill about that sort of stuff.
I hope so. Maybe I'm just on the wrong side of TikTok. I don't know.
I'm not on TikTok anymore, so I really don't pay attention.
I don't know, man. Sometimes I think it's 1985 with the Satanic Panic.
Really?
Oh, it's definitely, it's still around. It's still around, man.
Well, I think that's always going to be around, but like mainstream media is as panicky about it as it was when we were in the 80s and 90s.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, some of the shows that they've redone, like they've redone Charmed and Sabrina the Teenage Witch and made it more like almost realistic Wicca than the like, well, Charmed had a little bit of a realistic element to it, but Sabrina wasn't. Sabrina was nowhere near what
the original one you made. You talking about the original one?
No, the original one. Now the new one and then the newer Charmed are a lot more dark and a lot more like.
Okay.
I don't have a word for it. It's just.
All right.
It's very weird seeing a blank screen. I really wish I could see Sammy's face right now.
I don't know. Now I'm starting to think it just died.
Do you have another camera? Like, do you have a camera on your laptop? Or
I have one. I have Robbie's camera. I was looking to see if he left it here because I unplugged my camera and I replugged it in. And I was like, oh, crap. It still didn't show up. Let me see if I can get his. But you keep talking. I'm listening. I promise. I'm engaged. I'm just, you know, multitasking with my life.
I
remember the episode when Sammy was invisible.
She show up. It's fine.
I just wasn't here. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. So I'm super excited about that movie coming out. And I think it's November. Yeah.
Oh, really? November.
I think so.
Cool.
Hold on. Let me double check. I must fact check. Hexed. Nope. Spell it right, Ashley. November 25th, 2026. Oh, that's perfect. It's like two days away from my mom's birthday. So me and mom can go see it.
Oh, so you guys can go see that for her birthday.
We saw Brave. I remember seeing Brave with mom when it came out. And we were super happy because it was like a mother-daughter movie. So it was like a mother-daughter day. It was so fun. Yeah. I love my mom. We're having that. We're stealing away for Mother's Day. So my favorite author from my teen years, she's doing a book tour because she's finally releasing a book after 7 years, and she's going to Franklin, Indiana, which is only about 2 hours away from here. So I got tickets and mom's coming with me, and it's over Mother's Day weekend. So I'm like, I'm stealing mom for Mother's Day. I'm super excited. Yeah. So anybody out there listening, if you love Sarah Dessen, she has a new book coming out in May and we're super excited. Because it's been way too long. This is like her 12th or 13th book.
Yeah.
I have all her others.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot. I didn't realize she had so many.
Yeah, she has a lot. And she was who I read like when we were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like late high school.
I read several of her books. Yeah.
Oh, you have read her books?
Yeah, not all of them, but yeah, several of them. Yeah.
Truth About Forever is my favorite. And Just Listen. I love those.
I know I read Truth About Forever. I don't know if I read the other one.
Probably because I made because I loved it. I just reread it recently. I just reread Truth About Forever and I'm like, this holds up. I love you so much. But speaking of books, because we are in our books to media month, we are working Huh?
We're book positive today.
We're book positive here. Definitely book positive, because if you can see my room, if you're on YouTube, this is just two of my shelves. I have more that way.
Yeah.
They're bigger. And in that closet, there's books in boxes. We're very book positive here. But we are talking the second, well, is it technically the second book or the third book in the series? It's the second? Okay. Mm-hmm. Because the magician's nephew always messes me up on, like, which one, what's the number?
Yeah. No, it's technically 1/6, 5. There's 7 books total, right? Which one is new?
I think so.
Isn't there 7? I think there's seven,
including the magician's nephew.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember what either 5 or 6, because 4 was Silver Chair, and then there was Magician's Nephew and something else.
Okay. So Magician's Nephew came out in the middle of the series.
Yes. I think it's after it's either after the Silver Chair or after whatever comes after the Silver Chair. And then the 7th one is the last battle.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So this is book 2, and it is Prince Caspian. And there are a lot of similarities and there's a lot of differences between the book and the movie. But before we get into that, let's go over the book summary. I just did the book summary because it's practically the same thing with the movie. So just the book summary is what I got. The Pevensey children are magically pulled back into Narnia, only to discover that hundreds of years have passed since they ruled. Narnia has been conquered by the, I never say this right, Talmarinians, who have driven out all the talking animals and magical creatures. Right then and there, pisses me off. I'm like, why would you drive out talking animals and magical creatures? Why wouldn't you want them with you? They are adorable.
It's racist. It's racist. That's what it is.
Ugh. So many issues with that. But anyways, so the Pevensey kids meet Trumpkin, a dwarf who tells them the story of Prince Caspian, the rightful heir to the throne. Caspian, a young boy raised by his uncle, King Mires, learns the truth about old Narnia from his tutor and is forced to flee when his life is threatened. Caspian gathers the remaining old Narnians and calls for help using Susan's horn, which brings the Pevenseys back to Narnia. Together, they work to restore Narnia, while others struggle to believe. Lucy continues to trust in Aslan, who eventually returns to guide them. In the end, Aslan helps defeat the Telemarines, and restore Narnia. Caspian becomes king, and the Pevenseys return to their world, this time knowing they will not all come back again. That's sad. But anyways.
Yeah, I always thought that was pretty lame.
That's sad. I'm sorry. You can come back. If you still believe in magic as an adult, you should be able to go back to Narnia. Like this.
Yeah, that's what I don't buy that. I mean, like, Aslan wants so badly for these kids to come to, you know, to be good and to know him. And they're like, no, just kidding. You're too old. Go home.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, like,
no, grow it. Sorry.
Like, all right.
That's like.
And I never bought that particular plot device.
Yeah, and that's where, like, the faith part of it breaks down for me. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing there, Lewis, because it doesn't matter your age if
the faith-based era. The end of the, we'll talk about it in the next one, but he summed it up at the end of Dawn Treader, like, the speech that Aslan gives Lucy. We'll get to it, but
yeah.
I get it. I get it, but at the same time, it's like, whatever. I got thoughts on it. We'll get there.
I'm still a child at heart, so you best take me back to Narnia.
We all should be.
Exactly. So here's the overall differences between the book and the movie. The book is slower, more reflective, focuses more on restoring true Narnia, a strong emphasis on faith and patience, because they are waiting for Aslan, which takes a while. Where the movie, and honestly, you kind of have to do this with a movie, is you got to make it a little bit more fast paced. You got to have a little bit more action, darker. It doesn't have to be darker, but they made this one darker. And they focus more on war, conflict, and leadership struggles. So they're not, the tone of the book and the tone of the movie are two different tones. But I mean, who's going to watch? I love books and I love slower, reflective paces. But if you're making this as a child, like a movie you want children to watch, you have to pick up the pace a little bit.
I remember the book being a lot of just like, I don't know, traveling to one place and talking about what's going on. Like a lot of it was just like set up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the writing style of that generation. Like Tolkien did it. I can't think of other words, but I know a lot of that. I've read a lot in that time era, and they're very slow. They're very reflective. They're more drawn out, more descriptive, using
It's also English writing,
more complex language.
Yeah. No, I noticed a lot of like British writers, like it's that style is very like you have to take your time with it. American writers tend to be very like ghost, you know, very in your face.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That is like the biggest difference between American literature and British literature. Mm-hmm. But even then, like some American literature from back, like in whatchamacallit times, like olden Revolutionary, time. Civil War, like those time eras is a little slower. Like, or, you know, fire breathing, like In the Hands of an Angry God. That one always comes to the top of my head. I'm like, ugh.
Classic.
Stupid Puritan classic pastors.
Oh,
goodness. So some key similarities between the book and the movie is you got Caspian and the Pevensies returning to a changed Narnia. That happens in both. The Telamarians are ruling and suppressing old Narnia. Caspian flees from his uncle in both of them. Narnians gather in hiding, and then they use Susan's horn to summon, and then Aslan returns to restore balance. Now, I realize I didn't do characters from the movie. It's the same characters, like the people who played last week. You can go back to the cast list for the Pevensies. It's the same people. The only one new one you got is Prince Caspian, who in the movie is played by the very, very lovely Ben Barnes. Very, very lovely Ben Barnes.
He's a pretty man. He was making me swoon a little bit.
I mean, he's a pretty man, not just in his acting, but he also can sing. Like, he has an album out and swoon.
Okay.
Sorry, honey, if you're listening to this. But there are some major
plot. Everyone gets a hall pass.
There are some major plot differences between this that makes we already talked about the tone is very, very different, but there's other things. In the book is you start with the Pevensies and where they are, and then you go into Caspian's story later, where in the movie they switched it. They did Caspian first and then ran the storyline side by side, which is not how the book did it, apparently. And then we already talked about tone.
Oh, wait, I have a question for Dan.
Yeah.
I read that Caspian was younger in the book. Is that true?
I believe he was younger. Yeah, he was like early.
You might have that too, Ashley.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just
12, 13, 14 around there. Yeah, he was very young.
Okay, it popped in my head because, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The movie totally screwed that up. I mean, I wasn't mad about it. It's Ben Barnes. But
I was going to say, Ashley's not complaining.
But also, like, I don't know. I feel like.
Not complaint.
Huh? Visually and for like that audience, like it works better to age him up a little bit.
And it also creates a tension between Peter and Caspian. Like there's this whole like who's in charge energy, where if Caspian was 12 again, like he's supposed to be, there wouldn't be that. He'd probably look up to Peter. So there's a lot of tension going on.
It's always fun seeing two like dominant personalities that we both care about go at it. You know,
I think that was a better story.
Yeah.
This honestly, like I look back at this movie and I'm like, this movie kind of started my whole like dark hair, dark eyes, like it's that. It's like, oh, that's where this started.
Here
got
it.
We all get our attention somewhere, man.
Yeah. Oh goodness.
Off topic, but if we ever talk about mine, we're gonna talk about Lost in Space from the 90s. That's where some of my stuff came from. Lacey Chabert, Penny Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lacey Chabert. Okay, yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair. The war that goes on, like we already somewhat talked about, there's minimal battle scenes in the book. They're focused, like Dan said, on the waiting and the strategy and the travel, and that's where where C.S. Lewis focuses, which I understand since he's coming from a faith-based perspective. There is a lot of waiting. There is a lot of long journeys. Like, mm-hmm. Christianity is not always a war, especially when you read the Bible. Like, there's barely any wars that you read about. It's more of elongated waiting and stuff. So I get that kind of comparison.
It depends on what books you're reading, man. Some of those older books are,
Yes.
I read Judges.
Yes. Judges is one of them that has lots of wars. But I'm thinking of, like, if you go to the New Testament where Jesus leaves and Jesus coming back, technically he hasn't, according to whichever you believe. There's a lot of waiting, a lot of stretching, patience. Mm-hmm. Whereas the movie gives us a castle raid, which wasn't in the book, but I loved that. I mean, that was a great scene, or extended scenes, and then an extended final battle. Caspian, you brought this up. He was younger. He was like a child, early teen, so like 12, 13, somewhere around there. He was more idealistic, sheltered, and more guided by others, where in the movie they made him older, late teens, young adults. More independent, battle-ready, and involved in leadership. And then, of course, they shoved in a subplot with Susan, which pissed me off because I'm like, you do not deserve Susan. Or no, you do not deserve Caspian. I didn't like Susan. No. I've never been a fan of Susan.
She's silly and she likes makeup and parties.
No, I've just never been a fan of Susan's character, ever. Aww. Like, even in the original one.
What's Susan do to you?
And just, I never connected with her character. I just don't know what it is about her. Sometimes you get in this weird gut where you're like, I don't know about you. That was what I got. Yeah. I like, even Lucy was very, very whiny. I loved Lucy. Lucy's one of my favorites. And Peter's one of my favorites. Yeah. Like, out of the Pevensey kids. Peter, probably because he's the older child and I was the older child. So I saw that. Yeah. Like, I resonated with that. But I don't know.
I like them all. I think they all have something to contribute.
Yeah.
I see myself in, I see a little bit of myself in all of them.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And maybe my opinion of Susan will change when I read the books. Who knows?
Yeah. I think Edmund's probably one of the most interesting characters.
Yeah. Well, and I think I really did not resonate with her when she said something about knowing she's not going to come back or she doesn't want to come back or whatever at the end of the movie. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're not going to fight to come back. Something's wrong with you. Cause I would fight to come back.
Yeah.
I don't want to grow up. I wasn't like her. I didn't want to grow up like she did.
Right.
She wanted to grow up.
That is a key difference, yeah.
Yes, huge difference. Mm-hmm. That's why I love Lucy, because Lucy always wants to stay young and be a free spirit. So that's where I resonate with her. Mm-hmm. Anyways, sorry, that just finally clicked. Aslan, he appears much later in the book. He's calm, symbolic, and guiding. Strong emphasis on faith, where in the movie, more visually dramatic, like always. It's still tied to belief, but we're becoming less away from the belief and more quiet, reflective, less of everything. And then ending differences. The book includes mythological elements like forest spirits helping overthrow the Telemarines, while the movie removes most of that and focuses on a grounded battle-based victory. So very different. In the characters, Peter, Susan, Lucy, and Edmund, we all know they are dealing with different things. They have different character development. And so this movie just continues to expand on that. Except in the book, because they've already been through this once, the book, Peter was more confident and heroic, where in the movie, he's struggling with pride and the loss of authority. Now, I subject that to the fact that they changed the age of Caspian.
Right.
If they would have kept him normal age, I think he would have, the character would have came off more confident and heroic. But because Caspian's in charge or he's the prince or whatever, that's where that loss of authority comes in.
Yeah.
Susan is more practical and less central in the book, where in the movie, she's more active and she has that whole romantic subplot. Again, annoying. But anyways.
How dare she fall in love, silly girl.
That's my boyfriend. How dare you, Susan?
She likes makeup and parties and things. She's sick.
Anyways, Luce, why is this out of order? I'm going to go to Edmund next because he's the third oldest. Edmund apparently is more mature in the book and supportive. Where in the movie
he gets more, too, but I don't know.
Yeah.
He's more than he was in the first one.
Oh. Yeah, he says he's more, the movie gives him slightly more personality edge, which I mean, yeah, he's a little troublemaker. I would not expect him to not have a little bit of an edge still, even in his maturity.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And then Lucy, I feel like she never changes. She has strong faith in both, but the movie does emphasize others doubting her more. This is where, like, my scripture comes into my head. Like, I feel like this movie really focuses on, like, C.S. might have been pulling from faith like a mustard seed, or the talk of, like, faith like a child, because he has a lot of scripture. There's a lot of scriptures about children and their faith and how they're important, especially the story with Jesus and the children. So I feel like Lucy kind of embodies all of that. Like, she's the strongest out of all four of them when it comes to her faith. She is who I think a lot of Christians would love to be, or what C.S. Lewis thinks that a Christian should be in their faith, is my opinion. I don't know if that's true. I can't ask C.S. Lewis, but that's what comes across to me when I watch Lucy in these movies.
She is the most distilled version of the heart and soul, I believe, of what Lewis was getting at. Like a quiet, elegant, steady faith.
Yes.
I feel like that's what, yeah.
Yeah. I like how you said it better. Thank you.
That's what he's here for.
Dan knows how to interpret Ashley and make it better. Rephrase it so everyone understands.
For
20
years of friendship will do to you.
I know. Oh gosh, yeah. 20
Yeah, no, this 20 years.
Is it 20? Yeah, it's 20. Yeah.
In the fall it'll be 20 years officially. Yeah.
20 years. Yeah. Sammy, we're closer to 30.
I know, that's what I was just doing the math on. It's like, oh god.
We're at 27 this year.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not mad about it. It just makes me feel old.
I know. I know. But I always see these things. They're like, if you, something about like friendship, after 7 years, they'll never grow. That friendship never goes away. I'm like, yeah, I know. I have a group of friends of 20, and I have Sammy of almost 30, and you got those small circles. All right. Some themes that are similar: restoration of Narnia, faith in Aslan, good versus corrupt leadership, and belief in what cannot be seen. Those are similar between both. Some differences is in the book, they do faith more requires patience, which is very freaking true. I'm not patient, and I understand that. Trusting even when you don't see, which is Lucy's role, and then returning to your true identity. But in the movie, the difference is they more focus on leadership struggles and self-doubt, consequences of acting without faith, and then war and personal conflict. So two very different approaches to the themes of this book. But I feel like both of them are very, like, neither of them are bad. Both of the themes, all the themes that they gave us are very good and very needed in this world, depending on which one you need at that time. Let's see here. What is this? We're not going to talk about that. Go away.
Well, now I want to know what it was. You can't just do that.
It was literally everything we've already said, just in one sentence.
Okay.
So no, we're not going to say it. So those are kind of the big differences and similarities of the book to the movie and how they did it. I think they did a better job of the first movie making it more accurate to the book. I feel like we're starting to see kind of drifting away from kind of the core of what Lewis wants. Not entirely in this one, but it's starting. You can see some little things. And then in the next one, we're going to see a whoo, just away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Sammy, what do you think of this movie? Because I'm assuming this is the first time you've watched it.
Yes. And I have not read the book. I mean, So yeah. I have no reference to that whatsoever. But I don't know. I mean, it was good. I was, though, I double checked it because I was like, are they sure this was PG? Like, because some of these scenes, I was like, mm-hmm. oh, boy. I feel like as a child, I would have been like, I'm going to have a nightmare about some of this stuff going on. Same thing for the next one. I was just like, geez Louise, man. I mean, I like it as an adult because there was a lot of action going on to drive the story while yeah. still, you know, keeping the point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it definitely made me wonder about the rating with some of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of death and lots of... well, you mentioned the night castle, the storming
of yeah.
The castle, right, that they added in. That was really good, but I was just, like, sitting there when they were abandoning everybody, and you see mm-hmm. the drawbridge going up. I was like, this is intense as an adult.
What yeah. are the children? No, I was definitely getting, like, Battle of Helm's Deep vibe.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, makes sense, because that was, like, the visual thing fantasy-wise back then. So.
Yes, it was. This came out in 2008. So,
okay, so a little bit after.
I mean, I didn't see this as a kid. We were in college right. watching this movie. So I never thought of it in a aspect of being a kid. Would I have been scared? Mm-hmm. Not really sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying some of it was a little intense, I feel like.
I feel like kids are a little more resilient than we give them credit.
That's probably true. Mm-hmm. But it would have been traumatizing to a certain extent. Yeah. I feel like. With some of it.
I mean, we come from the generation of like dead parents in every movie, so it's like
I know we're kind of
different
like,
kind of trauma.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying now that it's like if it came out today, it would be PG-13.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a fair yeah. rating.
This is this movie. This person's like, this movie is very violent for a PG rating.
That's what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, as an adult, I'm like, I mean, I was trying to think of it like as a, you know, children who are watching this. I'm just like, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I liked it. I guess I see what you're saying, Ashley, because you brought it up. Thinking back at the very end when, you know, basically we decide that, you know, the two oldest siblings are too old to return mm-hmm. to Narnia, and you're just like, they don't, well, you were mostly picking on Susan, to be fair, but you were
Peter's
like,
the same way.
Yeah, I was going to say, technically, both of them were just like, well, this is just how it is. And I guess maybe that is part of the times that they were in, right? Because mm-hmm. they are much more aware, maybe everybody knows what's going on in the real world for them, but
yeah.
know, the older siblings are always going to be more aware of the realities and truths. So I think that's why they were more just resilient and like, okay, you know, he said this is it, and this is it for us, you know, we're not coming back. That's the end of the story. But I don't know. I thought the like little romance thing was a little cute, but to me, looking at Ben Barnes, I was like, he is too old for her. So I'm just like, let's leave Susan alone. Cause Ben Barnes is like 26 when he filmed this or something.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me look.
Double check me on that.
Yeah.
But I think he was like in his mid-20s.
Hold on.
In my brain, that's the problem I had more with it was the actor's age. I was just like, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot he was that much older. Yeah. I thought he was like yeah. more like you and Brett's age. No.
Yeah. I was just like, let's see. 2000.
It was probably 2007 when they filmed it. So
I would assume. Yeah. The year before.
He was 26.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Hold on. How old was Susan? What's her real name?
She was like, what, 19, 20 around there?
I'm sure she was close-ish. Yeah, but.
Let's just find out. I don't remember.
Yeah,
oh, curious. That's right. They're coming out with a new Narnia this year.
Yeah, isn't on
Netflix. Also, that's still a thing.
With Daniel Craig.
Who's he playing?
I don't know. I'll find out here in a second. Let me get Susan's age. I can't get Anne Popplewell. Popplewell? Popple? I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, she's my age. She was born in 88. So 2007, how old was I?
So she would have been...
She was 19. It's 19. Fine.
Yeah.
It's legal.
Okay. I don't think she was that much younger than him.
How old was Susan supposed to be?
In the movie?
In this movie, yeah.
Probably 16, 17? And
that's
how old he was supposed to be?
Yeah, because I know you always play younger, right? That's how it works.
Yeah.
Acting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think in my mind, I'm like, she's 16 and he is an adult. And I was just like, let's wait. Give it another, like the next movie. That's fine. They can do whatever they want. But
that, she's not that back in the next movie.
I know that she wasn't there. And I was just like, oh, well, I guess we're just going to forget about it altogether. But that was my problem with the romance thing in this. Otherwise, it didn't like bother me like you. But I don't have a massive crush on Ben Barnes. I do think he's very
well. I didn't have a massive crush on Ben Barnes until I saw him on screen movie.
I'm just saying, I feel like that biased you against poor Susan. You know,
little bit.
The truth comes out. You're not anti Susan. I mean, you're just anti don't take my man.
I'm saying.
It was a little bit, but there was a big part of it that I didn't really care for Susan in the first movie when I was first watching it.
Poor Susan. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. There's something poor about
Susan her just taking a beating, even when she, you know, poor Susan. Poor Susan.
She was very well written, but
taking a beating from everyone.
She's not taking a beating from everyone. She's taking some criticism from me. I'm just one little lonely person. She don't care about me. Daniel is playing Uncle Andrew.
Is that Uncle Andrew? Uncle of the magician?
I don't know.
Or would that be the magician?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to, possibly. Because I don't remember any Uncle Andrew, so I would assume.
Carrie Mulligan? No, it's only four people. I don't know if this is actually happening.
I thought they filmed it, or were filming
it. Is it a movie or is it a TV series? Because I know they were looking at a TV series.
Don't know.
Or like a Netflix series.
I thought so.
Insisted that the film had a theatrical release, which resulted in Netflix making a deal with IMAX for a 2-week exclusive theatrical run. So it's a movie. But it's not giving us much. Like, Emma Mackey is the White Witch. I have no clue who this person is.
I feel like I know that name. I can't.
There's a Carrie Mulligan and a Denise Gao, but all of them are adults. Like, I don't see any kids in this.
There's got to be children somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Emma Mackey. I could see that. She's got that face. She could be the witch.
Oh, yeah. She'll be fine. I'm confused.
No, they might not have just, like, announced or cast.
The film is based on the 1955 novel The Magician's Nephew.
Okay. Yeah, when you said Uncle Andrew, I was like, okay, that's probably the uncle. So it's not like a redo.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is based on The Magician's Nephew, which is the first chronological novel in the children's series.
That's interesting. That would be really interesting. Like, seeing the perspective of this story with the prequel coming out first.
Yeah,
that'd be right, because that explains, you learn a lot of things about why Narnia is the way it is. Like, yeah, it's really interesting. That's pretty interesting. Like, you learn why there's a random lamppost, like, just in the middle of nowhere.
I did have questions about that.
Yeah.
Still have questions about that to this day.
Yeah. You find out.
356 Narnia. Let's see here. It's supposed to have a theatrical release November 26th.
Oh, so this year.
Followed by streaming release on Netflix on December 25th.
Okay.
Cool.
So it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay.
Dan, do you like the book or the movie better? Or do you have a preference?
I feel like I kind of have the same thoughts on both of them. The book, I don't remember a whole lot of the book, but I mean, we've already pretty much talked about it. Like, a lot of it is just set up and waiting and describe, you know, built a lot of world building in the second book. And I feel like the second movie, I was getting a similar vibe, just with a bit more visually pleasing things, like in a bit more visually pleasing action. Yeah, because, like, maybe it's just because, like, I'm kind of biased because I already know what's going to happen in the future. So I'm like, part of me is like, let's get to that stuff. But no, we have to build up the first part to get, right. You know, we have to learn about the Telmarinians, and we have to learn about Prince Caspian. We have to learn about their relationship to that. And so I was like, I get it. But yeah, I mean, it's a good, like, transitional story. Yeah, like it gets you from here to here.
Yeah. Yeah, and you need those books in a series, so mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the idea that, you know, I like, there's a lot of kind of nostalgic, interesting feelings when they come back and it's like 100 years later and they're going through all of these things that were theirs during this whole other era of their life.
Yeah, that was creepy.
That's very, it's very strange. It's very strange. In ruins now. It's like practically post-apocalyptic. So this whole world that we saw in the first one, this like magical, huge, grandiose hall, and it's now just like rubble. It's very, it's very odd.
Yeah. That part made me so sad when I first saw the movie and all their stuff was in ruin and they were able to find some of their stuff that they left, but it was just all gone. Like a whole life was gone. I'm like, oh, that is so sad.
Yeah. But that's life though. Like everything eventually, everything we're doing here will eventually be ruined.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years.
Yeah.
It's true.
And we'll all be gone.
Yeah, but it's weird to, like, for them, that had to be really surreal weird because they grew up, they were adults.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, okay, this, I didn't even say this in the last episode. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, they were adults. Did any of them get married? Did any of them find someone they fell in love with? Did anything of that nature happen before they ran off and ended up back in their home? Like, I have questions.
Yeah, the whole time bending thing, it just trips me out a little bit.
Because they were all very beautiful people. Like, if there's other humans around in some shape or form, could they, one of them, could have Peter gotten married? And we just don't know it.
I mean, more than likely, but I mean, like, I feel like if he did, they would have said something about it. So.
I mean, potentially, but still, these are questions that I would want to have answered from C.S. Lewis.
I mean, there were no heirs to the throne, so it's like they didn't have any kids, not like any kids. Which, that'd be another, even, like, if they did. Like, if they did, you know, have, get married, they had children, they had heirs to the throne, then they come back hundreds of years later, like, your great-grandchild is, like, 10 years older than you are, you know?
See?
That would be weird. But also, if they did have heirs, they could have got destroyed by the Talamarians when they came in.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have questions. The books are too thin for me. I need more.
Yeah.
I need more. But yeah. Other than Ben Barnes in the movie, I do enjoy this movie thoroughly. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see the Pevensies back in, to be back in Narnia. To see it change, it was a good movie. I enjoy it. When I watch Narnia, it's usually Prince Caspian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to your point too, I'm glad we kept the same actors.
Yes. You
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They kept the same actors for the Pevensies all the way through and Ben and, or Prince Caspian is still Ben in the next one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the voice of Aslan doesn't change either.
Nope. Always Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Neeson.
Which is good. I mean, we get the same voice too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that she kept kind of showing up and, like, it's technically it was like Edmund's memories or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, dang, go away. And then, she's really in this one. And then in the next one, I was like, are you kidding me? Go.
Yeah.
Like, we're done with
it. Yeah.
Stop showing up.
Get out of here.
But I like the consistency and that she specifically targets Edmund because she's the one who had, like, they actually had, like, a connection, you know. So it's, like, an ongoing weakness he has to, or, like, part of his past he has to reconcile with, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
I find that really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, it's a faith-based book, so it makes sense. Like, Lucy is the strongest. Lucy is what you, in the Christian faith, is you're wanting to be. Mm-hmm. Edmund is the one who has the struggle the most with sin or with his demons. And then you got the other two in between who kind of go back and forth, like, are kind of like your lukewarm people in Christianese. So,
Edmund, to me, is the most human. Of all the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever situation he is in, he is better or for worse. He's all in and he's unapologetically himself. Mm-hmm. You know, like sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but it's like, it's who, and it's like, I always appreciate characters like that. Even when they're doing not great stuff, they're still very mm-hmm. authentic and they have that authentic redemption as well.
Yeah.
Yes. I like characters like that.
Great.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways too, like those characters usually end up becoming some of the strongest just because they have an understanding of that shadow side, that dark capabilities of life.
Yeah. You've read the whole books. Does he, by the end, is he the stronger one out of all four of them?
Honestly, I don't remember. It's probably okay. It probably sticks with Peter, but it's just my personal opinion. I feel like he's one of the strongest. Yeah. Or at least like one of the most intelligent as a whole. Not so much like, I mean, Lucy's the most intelligent when it comes to like the steady belief and the steady faith, whereas like Edmund, mm-hmm. it's like, I've been to the other side. I've seen what will mess you up. We need to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Edmund and Lucy are on the two different extremes when it comes to how they live, but they both end up in the same, like mm-hmm. they both believe the same thing. They just came to it in two different ways.
Yeah. Different right. sides. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was. I finally found the words. I finally found the words.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. Anything else you guys want to talk about when it comes to Prince Caspian, the movie at all? Any scenes that popped up in your head that you wanted to talk about, we didn't talk about?
I don't think so.
No?
Okay. All right. Well, Pixie Dusters, I hope you enjoyed us talking about the differences and similarities between the book and the movie. We will conclude our Books to Media month next week with the third Narnia movie / book, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Dear Lord.
Dawn of the Voyage right, Tread the Dawn Ship thing.
The Treader Dawn.
It's there.
The Treader of the
Dawn Voyage.
The water wine. They're on a boat.
The one with a boat?
There you go.
Yeah, the one with the boat.
The one with the boat.
Yeah.
Pixie Dusters, I hope you have a magical week.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried, who actually owns Hollywood, who makes the real money, and who's just along for the ride. So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.